Mike DeGubin. Hello, friend, and greetings, beloved, in the wonderful name of our Lord Jesus Christ. For, my friend, you are a beloved individual in the sight of Almighty God. He loves you so very much that the Word of God tells us of His love. In John 3 and verse 16, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever," and that's your name, beloved, you can put your name right there, "that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life." Oh, beloved, I trust that you have put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, have accepted Him as Savior, have been delivered from the bondage and control and dominion of sin in your life, that you're living a life of victory to the glory, honor, and praise of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if not, that's what we're trying to instruct and teach you in, to learn who you are in Christ, that you might live victoriously to the glory, honor, and praise of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this is Bob Griggs, and I'm delighted that you've turned your radio dial, or that you've gotten on the Internet and are joining us for a few moments of Bible study together. We've been talking about, first of all, how we can know that we're saved, because God's Word tells me, God's Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I'm a child of God, because I love the brethren, that is, other born-again believers, because we keep the Lord's commandments, because we believe in the name of the Son of God and have accepted the Lord Jesus as our Savior, because I've asked Jesus to come into my spirit, which is the will of God, and we're told that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us and will grant the petition. And so, beloved, we can know that we're saved. We don't have to wait until we die to find out. We can know right now, and therefore, beloved, have the assurance of where we're going to spend eternity. And then what do I do when I sin? Well, we discussed this some in our last time together. First of all, we confess our sin to the Lord. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Beloved, confession is needful for fellowship. It's needful for fellowship. You and I well know that when we were children and our parents had given us specific instructions and we disobeyed their instructions, we were uncomfortable in their presence. We didn't want to be around them. We found something else to do rather than being around our parents because we knew we had disobeyed them and we felt guilty about disobeying them. And so, beloved, that's why our Heavenly Father, we need to confess our sin to Him so that we will draw nigh to Him and will enjoy His presence, enjoy fellowshipping with Him, enjoy communing and talking to Him on a daily basis, enjoy letting Him talk to us from His Word, letting Him open up the glorious truths and help us grow in the knowledge of the Lord. Oh, beloved, it's wonderful when everything's right between you and Almighty God. It's wonderful when we can fellowship with Him all through the day, when we can commune with Him as a friend that walks along with us, for that's who He is. He lives within us through the indwelling Holy Spirit of God. And 1 Corinthians 6:19-20 tells us that our body is the temple of the Spirit of God, and that the Holy Spirit indwells us and lives in us and through us. And He's there, beloved, to strengthen and help us to walk in obedience to the Lord. So the question is, if I sin, can I lose my salvation? Some people think that you have to live righteously to keep from losing your salvation, that it depends upon us. But, beloved, if it depended upon us, believe me, we all would have been lost a long time ago, because none of us can keep ourselves saved. Our salvation doesn't depend upon us. It doesn't depend upon our actions or our attitudes or what we do any more than the children that were born in your family will lose being your child if they walk in disobedience or if they bring shame or disgrace upon your name. No, beloved, 1 John 1 and verse 12 and 13 tells us concerning the Lord Jesus Christ. He came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 11, but as many as received him, the Lord Jesus, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born. Born again, beloved, not of blood, that is, not because our parents are Christians will we become Christians automatically. Just because you're born in a Christian home doesn't mean that you're going to be a child of God and that you're going to heaven when you die. I've seen people that were born in Christian homes that grew up resentful and grew up not wanting to go to church and not wanting to have anything to do with God. Beloved, it's an individual matter. This matter of salvation is an individual matter. And every one of us must make the decision whether we will accept and receive the Lord Jesus as our Savior or whether we will reject Him. But as many as received Him, to them He gave power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, that is, not of human relationship, nor of the will of the flesh. We can't save ourselves by doing good works and by trying to be a goody-goody. No, beloved, that won't do it, because all of our self-righteousness is as filthy rags, we're told in the book of Isaiah. They're as filthy rags in the sight of God, and the word filthy means menstrual rags. Rags that are filled with blood. That's what our best looks like outside of Jesus Christ, beloved. It's no good. There's no way we can possibly be good enough to go to heaven. That's why we need a Savior, someone who took our sin and paid the price for our wrongdoing. That's what Jesus did when He died on that old rugged cross. But, beloved, that wasn't the end of it. If that was the end of it, we'd have been of all men most miserable. But now is Christ risen from the dead, 1 Corinthians 15. He's become the firstfruits of them that slept. He arose and conquered death, never to die again. And, beloved, He has eternal life. For He said in John 14, 6, I am eternal life. I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to God the Father except through me. He's the only way, beloved. Yes, it's a narrow way. There's only one way, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why we have missionaries. That's why we have this radio broadcast, to reach others who are blinded by false superstition and by false religion, and who are religious but lost. Religion can't save anybody. Only Jesus Christ can cleanse a person from sin and give them the gift of eternal life. He's the only way to heaven, beloved. And you may say, well, that's awfully narrow. Yes, it is, beloved. There's only one way. Neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby you must be saved. No one else can save you, beloved. No one else can give you eternal life. There's only one way, and that's through the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're trying to get to heaven through any other means, then you're duped and deceived by Satan. He's blinded you. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them, and they should be saved. Oh, beloved, listen to the truth of God's Word. Don't allow Satan to deceive you and to blind you and to keep you from the knowledge of the truth, because he will doom and damn your soul to a Christless eternity. That's his purpose, to separate you from God and to keep you separated from God. Now, you were born separated from God, born in trespasses and in sin. But, beloved, that's why Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures. He was buried, and he rose again the third day, according to the Scriptures. That's the gospel. That's the good news of our salvation. And if we will put our faith and trust in him, if we will call upon the name of the Lord, we shall be saved. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord, putting their faith and trust in him, shall be saved, beloved. He'll hear that cry, for he's not willing that any perish, but that all come to repentance. So invite the Lord Jesus into your life. If you've not done that, right now, cry out to him from your inner being, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I believe, Lord Jesus Christ, that you died for my sins, that you were buried, that you arose from the grave. Come into my life, Lord Jesus. Come into my inner being, into my spirit. Cleanse me from my sin. Make me pure and clean and holy and righteous. I now accept you as my Savior. I believe what your word says, and I receive you into my life. Thank you for hearing my prayer, because you promised in 1 John 5 that if we ask anything according to your will, that you would hear and grant that petition, and I know it's your will for me to be saved. Thank you, Lord, for hearing my prayer. Oh, beloved, a prayer like that, it doesn't have to be those same words. It's the attitude of the heart and the longing and desire to know Jesus, opening up your inner self to him and inviting him in. That's what will give you the gift of salvation and eternal life. And that's what he says right here, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, not through good works of our own, nor of the will of man. No man can save you, beloved. No church can save you. No religious organization can save you. Only Jesus Christ. He alone is the way of salvation. Right now, invite him into your life, that you might know the joy of forgiveness, that you might know the peace that passes all understanding, that you might know the deliverance from the bondage of sin, that you might be liberated and set free, and know the Lord Jesus as your personal Savior, so you can talk to him regularly and daily, just as I did a few moments ago. You can fellowship with him and allow him to speak to your heart and lead you. Until next time, goodbye.